Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, a basic team culture model for managers, part 2 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, should I have a culture for my team? What is a good basic culture model for my team? And how do I create the right culture for my team?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If you're a member of a large organization, one with an internal training team, and you're thinking about training folks on some of the Manager Tools guidance, you may be interested in our Train the Trainer program, where you can license any of our 3 standard training offerings, the Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Hiring Manager, and thus deliver them internally at your pace based on your timing. Our model provides training for your selected internal trainers and continued support of your training team throughout the year to ensure that your workforce is getting an effective delivery. Standard Manager Tools corporate license benefits are afforded to those who are internally trained on our Effective Manager guidance. And overall, this model can reduce your costs by as much as 40%. If you're looking for flexibility and cost savings in your Manager Tools training, this is the way to go. Learn more by emailing Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com.
Now comes the part that really matters in instilling a culture of any type, which is communicating more frequently about what matters more than any other topics. Lots of people talk about culture in a general way, but don't do the hard work of behaving about it. To behave about a cultural norm is to make it part of many, if not most, of virtually all your communications. And in communications, we mean conversations, emails, texts, Slacks, Teams messages, meetings, reporting, interactions, really. Any interactions that you're having with your team should include these cultural conversations, essentially. And it further means creating systems of reporting and communication that prioritize the results. For instance, start your staff meeting with reporting from everyone on metrics they contribute to every time. Agree what that will be, like which ones they should choose to report upon or which ones they should talk about. Don't hesitate to ask those who are reporting in your staff meeting to change the way they're reporting and how to say different words. Yeah. That's what we're suggesting is this requires people talking about different things mm-hmm. in meetings, not just you, but them. And one way to do that is to ask them to say whatever it is you need to hear about their results and work and efforts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can also, folks, create digital information radiators. If the work is being done related to one of your team's results, the reporting of that work needs to be done online. Kate mentioned earlier dashboards, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your online
so
systems,
helpful.
Right? And you might have some of them, but even like from internally what your team is doing, more of those. Your online systems must show individual tasks and deliverables and due dates and owners. And this way, you and every other team member know when something is done. And when everybody knows what's done, because inherently as part of this information radiator, this dashboard, people are being communicated to that the previous step is done, it allows others to do their then dependent tasks. It also eliminates delays of that work starting that normally occur when the work is being reported on, let's say, only weekly in your staff meeting. Because if the meeting's not till Friday, and that's when you would tell everyone you're done your piece, but you're able to update it on the information radiator on Tuesday, people can start doing activity before the formal briefing of the fact that the work is done. So it's all of that. Everybody on your team should be able to easily access the status of all of the work that is happening on your team all of the time. If they have to wait to hear about completed tasks, you are wasting your most valuable resource and it's time.
Mm-hmm.
So creating these dashboards for your team.
Yeah. If you're really going to have a culture of results, it means the switch from tracking tasks to tracking deliverables. And deliverables include the responsibility for communicating status of the work with the task itself. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have put out guidance about this, and the guidance that we've shared previously about the difference between tasks and deliverables is called assign work and reporting. Effectively, if you have a dashboard, them doing the task and putting that it is done in the dashboard is a form of deliverable. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just, you know, sometimes we verbalize deliverables. And one of the great things about dashboards is that we are allowing for the reporting piece of deliverables to be done in a place where everybody can see it. So it's broadcast communication. And because you're both doing the work and then putting it in a place where people can see it, which is a form of communication. Dashboards really change the way tasking and deliverables are, I want to say, interconnected.
Yeah.
Because we are just moving the reporting piece to the dashboard. And we're talking about a lot of reporting tools. We understand you might think, gosh, this is going to be harder than I thought. You don't have to set up all the reporting tools yourself.
Yeah.
Your Best Direct could do it for one of their projects. So many shareable dashboards have templates. Your top performer could create the template. Google Sheets has great templates, and the templates could be shared so that everything kind of looks the same. And of course, there's also all kinds of videos on like Google Sheets and Team. I'm sure Microsoft Project stuff is different now than what it used to be when I used it.
Well, we've got the manager tools work management spreadsheet is what the podcast is called that it's on. We internally call our work management spreadsheet Cypress. But yeah, a template form of our work management spreadsheet is in the podcast. So, or it's attached to the podcast page. So yeah, by all means, use ours as a template if it works.
And okay, there's another piece here. All of this talk about reporting results means you're going to have to be giving a lot more feedback. Hmm. Meeting goals, even simple deliverables, small parts of the whole are worthy of positive feedback. When things aren't met, negative feedback is warranted. And now that we have, you know, publicly available people's status, it's definitely something to consider to shift your behavior into being willing to offer help, mm-hmm. asking questions. What do you need? When will you deliver this? What's the holdup? What's in your way? What can I do? What else have you tried? Remember, asking these questions is not meant to be interrogation. Yeah. We're trying to help them solve their problem. Mm-hmm. And asking questions to expand their thinking, to teach and guide, is a core part of effective management and executive leadership. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to ask these questions.
Exactly.
And make it the norm.
Yeah, that's totally.
Such that when it happens in the staff meeting, that's what they expect. Additionally, what you'll find is if you ask the same question every time, Sarah, even this morning, you said, when will that be done? And then later on, you said, I didn't hear when that would be done. If you keep doing that, y'all, because of the rhythm and the fact that people get used to that the last part of that sentence should be, this is when it will be done, they start to do it before you ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's that lead by example kind of thing that we were talking about earlier, which is you're creating an example of what they should be doing, and you create these patterns and habits mm-hmm. that lead to a set of behaviors that is results-based.
Exactly.
Because a results-based culture doesn't just talk about this didn't get done. It talks about will it get done and when.
Exactly. That is exactly.
Just ask the question over and over and over again, and then they don't need the question anymore because they know it's coming and they start answering it before you ask.
They know what you want to hear just because you keep asking about it. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah.
All right. So that is our part about the culture of results that we want to set up. Now let's move into the next piece, which is a culture of communication. Now, folks, communication is what knits organizations together. Not role power or organizational charts. Those things don't knit our organizations together. We've said before that there are consulting firms who do nothing but map communication patterns in organizations to see who's really wielding influence power to make the organization succeed. And or just the opposite. Half the people in the world, high D's and high C's in the MT disc world, are not natural communicators. Without a culture of communication, they will choose not to communicate. And their choice not to communicate actively to the other people on the team will slow down both the team and your organization. If no one knows the work that they've done is done, they won't be able to pick it up and do the next piece of it. So having a culture of communication is necessary for our teams to function well. Now, folks, know one of the things that we do, I mean, this is what we do at Manager Tools. We travel, we present to clients, we present at our public conference events. If you're interested, you can look at us on managertools.com and maybe join us at an upcoming event. But folks, regardless of where we are, virtually everywhere we go, undercommunication is an enormous problem. Your team doesn't know what others are doing. They can't adjust their work based on the status of other people's work. Their relationships suffer because the core behavior in relationships is communication. And in terms of two professionals who don't communicate, they don't have a relationship.
Yeah.
Now, you know this, because if you've ever reached out to a friend needing something, you've learned that you don't have enough influence and trust with them to persuade them to help. How can a manager create a culture of communication?
Usually what it takes is over-communication.
Mm-hmm.
Just like constant communication all the time. Constantly talking to your team, communicating to your team, just an onslaught, if you will.
Yeah.
Really, to do this, first, you really need to set a standard for what you mean by a culture of communication. There are some pretty simple things you can do, one of which is, and you know, I always think people are going to be excited about this because people complain so much about it. And then in fact, what I discover is when I suggest it, people don't like it, much to my consternation, but I'm going to say it anyway, stop doing email throughout the day. Wrestle it into 3 daily slots on your calendar. This is per our guidance. We've put out a number of podcasts about this. If you do email throughout the day, it communicates, for lack of a better word, to your team that you manage through email, that that's how you manage is email. And it then causes them to constantly check their mail because that's the communication they're getting from you. And they desire communication from you. They're addicted to it. So if where you're communicating the majority of the time is email, then they'll sit there waiting to hear from you. And it distracts them from the actual work they're doing because they're waiting to hear from you, to communicate with you. And you're literally making them sit in front of a answering machine.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. You're asking them to sit by the answer machine and wait for messages to come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible because it's not that email isn't work. There is some work associated with email. It's just that email is a non-urgent form of communication. And it isn't intended to be interruptive all the time of the stuff that you're doing. And that's exactly, really, seriously, imagine your directs sitting next to an answer machine all day long. That's what they're doing. And no matter what they do, whatever they're doing, the minute they hear the answer machine click on, hey, time to focus on this, pulls them out of their work, stops them from doing what they're doing. And they do it because they're addicted to communication from you. And you're putting them in a position to sit there and listen to your communication through what is effectively like a pretty impersonal format as well.
That's exactly it. Another thing about generally the email vein, email communication, is that folks remember as a manager, you're communicated through. When you get an email from above, don't just turn around and forward it. It's not just for you. Forward down emails with interpretation about what this means for your team, for the organization, how this affects them in their day-to-day work. Keep them in the loop so that they get these additional necessary communications and you're not just hoarding them for yourself.
Yeah, that's not going to help. We want them to understand not just what the organization is saying, but how we intend for that to be part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Additionally, teach your team how to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do this by setting an example for what goes into emails. Set an example of what goes into Slack. Communicate to them, hey, if it's going to be, you know, we talk about the hierarchy of urgency in communication. So if it's something that you need in the next 10 minutes, you should be standing in my office.
Yeah.
If it's something that you need in the next hour, you should be on the phone. If it's something that you need in the next 2 to 4 hours, that's a text message. Probably 3 to 5 hours is a Slack or instant message. And anything past that can go into email. So think about the time frame in which you need something. Mm-hmm. Also, what is important? Results. What needs face-to-face stuff? Again, urgency is a big one. Talk to them about how work status will be communicated.
Yeah.
Dashboards. Is there not a dashboard for that? Then how will we set that up? Is it an automated email, et cetera? We touched on this earlier, and you have options. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask ourselves, if we're going to focus on results, where are we monitoring them? And then how is that monitoring being communicated? Is everyone expected to go to the dashboard?
Right.
Is the dashboard going to send an email? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this also applies really heavily to meetings. And I say really heavily because I think in meetings, in person, there's a higher responsibility of people, not just to talk about the right things, but to do it with professionalism and politeness. So in the meetings, we need to be talking to them about what should they be communicating about. And if things need urgency in meetings as well, meetings need to include not just reporting, which is, hey, here's where I'm at and here's where I'm going to be. They also need to include decision-making. And I find that for me, my team, the decision-making piece really comes from assigning action items in meetings. So if you're wondering, how do we communicate that decisions are made? How do we take those decisions and create the culture of results around them? Because the decision-making process usually is a discussion, right? So in order to take not just the communication of culture, which would be a discussion in a meeting, into your kind of new ethos, but that also then can help create a culture of results by not just taking those discussions into meetings, but also then creating action items for afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, folks, I mean, we've talked quite a bit about communication. I know this is just scratching the surface. As we've said earlier, ask questions of your team in terms of what you believe is important. That is, what they're communicating and how they're communicating it. This was in a recent podcast, Kate, wasn't it? Where we talked about this? The topic of what executives ask defines for their team what areas of importance are. So ask questions about, teach your team what you believe is important. And when they do it well, give people positive feedback and tell them in step number 3, the outcome piece of the manager tools feedback model, that it helps your culture of communication when they don't behave in a way that is true to the culture of communication you've created. Give them negative feedback and mention the effect on culture of not communicating fully and well. Remember to instill a culture of the most important components of your work. You must talk about them. And it sounds funny to talk about communication, but that's what it takes. Communicate about communicating.
And I think the important part of that, the important behind the scenes part of that sentence you just said, is that it's because we're asking them to change, right? It's like, it's not just communicating. I just said this to somebody the other day. Somebody said, it's interesting that you guys are always saying communication is what the listener does. The reason we're communicating about communication is because the listeners are our directs and they need to shift their communication. Not always, but like they need to do it differently, right? And people say, well, why do you guys say that thing? Like communication is what the listener does. And it's because if you're just talking, but there's nobody in the room, you're not communicating. And if you're not talking to your directs about the changes you want, you're not communicating to them what you need the culture to be.
Yeah.
It requires you sharing with them, hey, this is what we want. So yeah, we're going to talk about communication.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we need a shift.
Right. Exactly.
Not just like sitting around talking about communication, although we do that a lot.
We do. So probably more than most. Probably more than
yes,
most.
No. Yes. 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 Oh, God. January is a huge time of year for new roles and new plans, and we're here to help. We've got two events this month where you can brush up on your skills, prepare for your new role, or just reinforce your dedication to your resolutions. Come to Seattle, January 21st and 22nd, or Austin, January 28th through 30th. In Austin, you can actually meet Mark, and there's an opportunity to attend an effective hiring manager training, which we only offer once a quarter. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. There's a final bit here, yes, right? We're going to talk about the culture of professional relationships. If you want your team to function as a team, and you, to a certain extent, maybe you want to decide what that means, regardless of what you think it means, it takes trust amongst them, between them. And trust is on individual basis. So the trust you have with one person versus the trust you have with another person, that's different. Mm-hmm. You know this if you're building trust with one-on-ones.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. You should be building trust through your one-on-ones. You should be acting trustworthy yourself, which is doing what you say you will. Mm-hmm. Your team members can't do pure one-on-ones with everybody. So you have to explicitly tell them that you expect them to have professional relationships with one another. And a lot of times that does come in the form of peer one-on-ones, because peer one-on-ones are just a time and place to meet, to communicate more, and communication causes trust.
Right.
Now, we don't recommend that you do this every time, but a peer one-on-one is effectively like, hey, let's get coffee every week.
Yeah.
Because we need to talk enough to be friends and right, to be trusting of each other.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. Now, again, we don't suggest that you go for coffee every time you have a peer one-on-one. You could think about it, though, as the same mechanism.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a professional version of that mechanism. We're just scheduling the time.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it, because we happen to be in a place where following your calendar tends to be important, and maybe in your personal life, less so.
So funny, because I actually spent some time last night looking for a home family calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Device. Because we at Manager Tools focus on our calendars, and I don't love that my family personal life doesn't include a shared version of that. Mm-hmm.
It's like your own personal Manager Tools spreadsheet. This is your personal dashboard to help you communicate internally at home. I like it.
Yeah. We do it here, and I'm going to do it everywhere else. I'm going to make the people around me do it.
Right? I like it. I like it. Well, if you're the boss, you can force them to. It's just how it works, guys. So in terms of this creation of a culture of professional relationships, the way we can create this on our teams is, first, again, it's easier if you explicitly state that your desire is for professional relationships and that is part of your core culture. Further, you can no doubt easily do a back of the envelope evaluation of everyone on your team. Who has good relationships? Who offers to help other people? Who doesn't do these things? Who listens to other people without interrupting? To whom do other people go for help? Who do other people avoid? Who turns into somehow the unassigned educator and teacher of all of the things internally? Who hoards the information? Who shares the information? Who's aware of other people's behavioral styles and modifies their own behavior? All of these things are things that can be considered in this back of the envelope evaluation of individuals. And remember, you want to reward the things you want to see more of. That's how we have people stick to this culture. So give positive feedback regularly to those mm-hmm. people whom you observe or hear are working well with other people. Mention their positive effect on the culture of professional relationships in the outcome of those behaviors. When you give negative feedback, use in step number 3, the impact statement, how they're either not helping or helping to build the right organizational culture. There's no amount of work performance that can make up for an individual who doesn't behave in ways commiserate with the culture of professional relationships. One of our, it's got to be a Hall of Fame podcast, Kate, the podcast about the two reasons to fire someone.
Yeah.
They're not getting results or they're tearing down the team. Both are equivalent, if not tearing down the team being more important. And yeah. Oftentimes organizations don't behave that way.
I just gave my performance reviews and, well, I gave some of them this week. And some of them are next week. And someone on my team specifically got in a successes for this year, positive internal relationships on their review, because we talk all the time about how this person helps people, how this person communicates well with their peers, offers to help, et cetera. And even just in, you know, in other areas, I often hear people saying about this person, like, oh yeah, you know, we were talking or we're close, all that stuff. And so even though I share that throughout the year, it also went in someone's performance review recently.
Absolutely.
It's in one of the ones I'm delivering next week too. Like, I'm really pleased with the fact that you maintain positive internal relationships in this organization.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy. Even if you have, and we have a lot of really positive relationships here internally, and then stuff happens. You know, somebody does something silly or dumb or like, that's perceived negatively.
Yeah.
And you got to just because it's been great for a while doesn't mean it's going to always be perfect, because stuff happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, give the feedback. And it can even be so, if it's important to you and you're trying to build it into a culture, it's not impossible to put it as part of their performance review stuff. So even somebody, not a review that I delivered, but a review that one of my directs delivered, included that a really positive comment that somebody had made about this person, because the person who made the positive comment is hard to get along with.
So that's good. See, there you go.
And it's just another process that backs up the culture. We're measuring, do you have positive internal relationships?
Yep.
And if you do, and you continue to do so all year, you get it in your performance review.
Right. Exactly.
And then the great news, that's part of how you would not enforce a culture, but how you encourage,
that's the thing,
behaviors around the culture you want, because your team has a culture.
Yes.
And if you haven't specifically laid it out, communicated it, measured against it, you're missing an opportunity to focus on your team. It's not only that culture is behavior. That's true. It's also true that culture drives results.
Mm-hmm.
A culture of results, communication, and professional relationships can be, if it's done well, it really should be at the core of an effective organization. It should be at the core of all effective organizations. And you may choose to add other components. Good job. It reminds me a little bit of the Trinity, right? It's like, once you get these four things in place, call me and I'll tell you about the other 11 things that contribute to results and retention. But let's get these three things in place. And then if you want to add some other stuff, go for it. That might be necessary. It might be great. But if your culture doesn't explicitly state these core components, you'll have your people chasing ideas without metrics. Results will suffer. Relationships will suffer. Your ability to keep your team on track will suffer.
Speed will suffer because communications are taking longer than they should.
Right. And as we've always said, results are your primary responsibility. So let's make that responsibility an explicit part of the culture. And then also, because we care about people, communications and relationships as well. And once you've done that, you're not just managing, you're leading.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully this was helpful, y'all. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate.
That's it for this week. And we'd love to see you back next week for a new topic. And I'll see everybody in March or April when I'm back from maternity leave. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.